All right, please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. I'll throw you a little curveball there. Romans chapter 14. I want to read a passage of Scripture there without comment to begin with. We'll talk about it here in a minute. Romans chapter 14. If you're there, say glory to God. Well, I'll wait then. All right, let's look at verse 1 of Romans 14. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. And drop on down and look at verse 12 there. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Now you can flip over to our focal passage, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 8, which is where we are this week. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Here in chapter 8, Paul is still answering all these questions that the Corinthians had evidently written to him in a letter. And he's going through that letter and addressing these questions they asked one by one. And seems now somebody has asked him about eating meat that had been offered to idols. And before you think, well, that's nothing we deal with today, so this really doesn't apply to my life, please think again. Don't do that. Yes, he's specifically talking about meat offered to idols, but the bigger picture here, the larger theme, is how all of us as Christians should be careful not to let our freedom in Christ harm other believers. You say, well, how can my freedom in Christ harm other believers? Well, he's going to show us here in a minute. He's going to talk about that. He really deals with this subject for the next three chapters, 8, 9, and 10. We're just going to cover 8 today. But he will eventually sum all this up in chapter 10, verse 23. He'll say, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. That's a great verse to have underlined in your Bible. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Not everything that we're allowed to do builds people up. And that's exactly the same subject he was dealing with in Romans 14 that we just looked at. In Romans 14, he talks about the strong brother and the weak brother. He won't really use those terms here in 1 Corinthians 8, but he alludes to them. It's the same principle. And I just tell you, everybody that reads Romans 14 or 1 Corinthians 8 here, everybody sees themselves as the strong brother, right? I mean, nobody looks at themselves and think, well, I'm the weaker of the brother. But even if that's exactly what we really are, everybody thinks of themselves as the strong brother. And honestly, the way Paul talks about the strong brother and the weak brother is backwards of the way we typically think anyway. We tend to think the Christian that is thank you, Greg. The Christian that tends to be obsessive, meticulous about obeying God's law, the one who tends to be the most passionate about doing just exactly what the Bible says down to the letter, we tend to think that person is a strong believer. Actually, Paul calls that person the weak brother. Not saying that the weak brother's not saved or that he's an inferior Christian. That's not what Paul says. He just, sometimes those people, somebody who's like that, they just hadn't fully grasped that they're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And it's hard for them to let go of their do's and their don'ts. Christian life was never meant to be lived by a set of do's and don'ts or a set of rules. And far more of us are like that than we want to admit. I truly believe. I think all of us can be the strong believer and the weak believer depending on the situation. You agree with that? I think we all can tend to be both. So Paul makes the point over in Romans, the only reason he's even having to address the question is because there's a lot of things that the Bible just does not speak directly to. I mean, it just doesn't cover every situation in life. And I'm sure you figured out there are a lot of things the Bible just does not address specifically. And the Bible sometimes refers to these as matters of conscience. In Romans 14, in the New King James, he calls them doubtful things. You might also think of them as matters of preference. Well, that's what Paul is talking about here in chapter 8. Now, we're not talking about things expressly forbidden in Scripture. We're not talking about things that are black and white. It's not okay to murder. It's not okay to commit adultery, right? Bible says don't do them. We shouldn't do them. There's no debate that it's not okay to get drunk, right? Bible Scripture's clear on that. Galatians 5:21 says it. Proverbs 23:29 says it. Plenty of other verses. That's not the thing. That's not what Paul's talking about. But drinking alcohol in moderation, that's another story. Bible doesn't say too much about that. That's one of those doubtful things or matters of opinion. And there's a ton of them out there. Think about it. You can think of them. Should a Christian smoke? Play cards, go to dances, somewhere about going to movies, just on and on and on. And Paul says Paul says in Romans, don't get in a dispute, don't get in an argument, don't get thy panties in a wad over things that got nothing to do with our salvation. That's the Billy Walker translation. But the Bible is clear, either extreme is wrong. It's wrong to think that every area of life is a matter of opinion. If that's the way you think, then you're worshiping yourself and not God. 1 Peter 2:16 says, don't use your freedom in Christ as a cover-up for sin. But just the opposite's true. It's wrong to think that nothing is a disputable matter, that nothing is a matter of opinion, because that's the stuff of religion. Jesus died to save us from religion. The fact of the matter is, everything is just not black and white. One is legalism, the other is license, if you can think about it that way. So I'm building a big front porch to get in this house, I understand, but you feeling the flow of this, where we're going with this? Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Now that phrase, things offered to idols, is actually one word in the Greek. It can be simply translated idol sacrifices. And I really think Paul is basically quoting a line out of that letter that they wrote him. Now remember, we don't have that letter. We're left to guess what it is. But I think he's quoting a line there when he says, we know that we all have knowledge. You remember we talked about this a lot. The Corinthians, the Greeks, they, They were all about thinking how smart they were. And I'm sure somebody that wrote this letter said something, wrote a line in there that said something like, "Hey, Paul, listen, man, we're smarter than the average bear. We know that idols, that there's really no reality behind those idols. I mean, there's not really a god named Zeus. That's just a figment of somebody's imagination." And Paul agrees with him. He says, "Yeah, you're right." But he, like Paul always does, he pulls him down a peg here. He says, "You're right. Many of us have that knowledge. Idols are fake." But he says, basically says, "You may be smart in your understanding, but you're not very smart when it comes to loving on people, loving Christians." And he tells them also there, he says, "Don't get too cocky." He says, "If anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know." You Corinthians, you're right. You're smart. You have some knowledge. We all do. But the fact of the life is, folks that think they know it all typically know very little. Is that right? Am I right? I mean, if you haven't figured it out by now, hang on, your time's coming. The more you begin to know, the more you realize you don't know. To me, the Bible is a perfect example of this. The more I study the Bible, the more I learn the Bible, the more I memorize the Bible, the more I realize I don't know anything about the Bible. I know very little about it. And he says, and notice he says their knowledge puffs up. I like the way the New American Standard words this. He said, "Knowledge makes one arrogant, conceited," and it can. I don't make a blanket statement here because it wouldn't be true. But some of the most arrogant, conceited, condescending people on the planet are the super educated, the PhDs and the highly educated. Not everybody's like that. I'm not saying everybody that's got a PhD is condescending and arrogant, but a bunch of them are. I can tell you that. You know that. And isn't that ironic? Here's Paul. He's Mr. PhD himself, Bible scholar of Bible scholars. If you look at his education, his background, he probably had the equivalent of two doctorates, two PhDs. And here he is arguing against doctrine and knowledge over love. And I just Paul argued over in Galatians, but he would argue both sides of the coin. In Galatians, he got onto them. He says, "You're not exercising your freedom in Christ enough. You're wanting to go back under the law. What's the matter with you?" And here he's telling these people, you're ramming your freedom down. You're causing other people to sin in the church because of your freedom. So he argues both. And he tells them there in verse 3, it's not about knowledge. It's not about how smart you are. It's all about love. Jesus said, John 13:35, "By this will all know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Not they'll know you're my disciples by how much of the Bible you know. That's not what he said. You know, Paul says, if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. You know, there are a lot of people that know a lot about the Bible. They know a lot about God. They know a lot about Jesus, but they aren't known by God. We got a medical incident here at the church for the online. I'm supposed to say something to that, so we're going to stop Sunday school lesson right now. We'll pick it up, good Lord willing, next week.